appreciate it, and thank you each one who gave to that offering. During my Bible time of prayer and reading last week, while I was praying for the requests that the children made, I prayed for their parents, knowing that the actions of their children can and will test them as parents. Now, my goal tonight, and as I prayed and thought of things, I grabbed some paper and started jotting down notes, and then today put it into something that was readable from the scribbling that I did right there while I was having my devotions. But my goal is to teach, to share with you some foundation thoughts, some basics that can help you. I get excited about it, and therefore it can end up sounding like preaching. And the reason I say that, Oliver Green was an evangelist. He was actually a tremendous Bible teacher. But because he taught with enthusiasm, you thought you were listening to preaching. And I realize that sometimes the distinction between teaching and preaching is a fine line. But nevertheless, the distinction that I've always been told is preaching is sharing God's word in a way that motivates people to do it, where teaching is sharing God's word in a way that imparts knowledge to them for a person to take in, consider, apply to their life. The end results are the same, okay? But that's a distinction that I've heard. All right, here's some key words. The first key word is patience. Your initial response to my saying patience is with your head, with mental acknowledgement of its need, and according to your personality, that need will be greater or lesser. Some people are patient, is just part of them. It's because of their personality. Now, as Christians, we can take patience to a different level. So even if you're not naturally patient, because you're a believer through the Holy Spirit, you can live a patient life. If you are naturally patient, your patience now can come not just from your personality, but it can come with the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's why I say, as Christians, we can take patience to a different level. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 lists the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit is listed as long-suffering. That means to forbear. Now, long-suffering and patience are not identical, but they are twin cousins. Twin cousins? They're very similar. Okay? And when you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, there in your reading about charity, the nature of love, the character of love, includes this matter of long-suffering, patience. And so, as Christians, we are able to take patience to a different level than what we experience in a natural manner. Second key word, anticipation / expectation. That is what we as parents expect from our kids. Now, what we expect from our kids is based on what we know they can do and what we'd like them to do. Now, it's nice when there's a balance between those, okay? But sometimes what we expect from our kids is what we'd like them to do. And from a child's perspective, this matter of anticipation or expectation, from a child's perspective, it often depends on their motivation. And that can vary for many reasons, even with the same thing or the same type of thing. Sometimes a child will be motivated, and then the next time they won't. And as a parent, you may even say to them, "What in the world? I do not understand it, Henry. The last time you did thus and such." And when Henry's done stammering and, you know, stuttering around and whatever, what it amounts to is the previous time he was apparently motivated. This time he's not. Now that motivation can come from themselves, or it might come from yourself. I have no problem whatsoever in using prizes, okay, for achieving things, okay? And like we have this T-shirt for the kids who memorized 52 scriptures, and they've earned a T-shirt, and that comes off of the Vietnamese program that Paul Scott had for the Vietnamese children, all right? So you say, well, that's bribing them. Oh, no. Let me teach you something. A prize, a reward, is an incentive to do right. Okay? An incentive to do right. A bribe is always negative. You bribe somebody to do something wrong. When a judge is bribed, it's to do wrong. When a police officer is bribed, it's to do wrong. And when, so you see, a bribe is to do something wrong, where a prize is an external incentive to do something right. You say, that sounds like a bunch of, well, that's all right. You may think that. I don't mind. So you say this matter of why a child, you know, their motivation. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, they may do something because they're told, look, if you get that job done right now, we'll take you down to McDonald's and you can get yourself a hamburger. And the kid probably looked at him, just a hamburger? Yeah, just a hamburger. Go do that job and you'll get fries with it. And so you say, now what is that? Well, you're using an external incentive, okay, to get something done. Anticipation, expectation, coming from the parent side, coming from the child side, they vary. The important thing is that there be the right level of anticipation. And this again would be for the parent and for the child. If you have an expectation that's too high for yourself as a parent, you can end up getting frustrated. If it's too low, okay, well, then you end up being very disappointed. But for the child, the same way, if the expectation is too high, they end up being frustrated because it's too much for them. And if it's too low, well, then there's no challenge to the kid. And there isn't really any incentive in that because, well, they just can't apply themselves and thereby excel. So we have the matter of patience, that's important. And then we have the matter of anticipation and expectation. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Every parent knows that, right? Children, obey your parents. Every parent knows it. Every child has heard it. If not from the pastor, then from the evangelist. If not from the evangelist, well then from the Sunday school teacher. And you can count on it, the parents let the child know about that verse. Okay? I mean, it's your, you say, well, that's a Bible verse. It is. But did you ever notice verse 4? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You see, the anticipation, the expectation that we have for our kids, we must be careful that it does not provoke them. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the instruction. And I'll have more to say about that aspect. But, and you notice verse 4, it says, ye fathers. Now, it doesn't say mothers, but I'm sure God wouldn't be pleased if a mother provokes her child. But sad to say, us fathers, we seem to have a natural knack and an ability to do that. Now, there are exceptions, okay? My one brother-in-law, his manner of parenting is much more like that of a mother. He is compassionate. He is tender. He is patient. He provoking would not fit. And in that particular situation, it is possible that the provoking would come with the other gender in that relationship, okay? So there's always exceptions to that. But generally speaking, God said fathers provoke not for a reason. So we're patient. We have to anticipate and expect. And then disappointment. That's another key word. I want you to remember that key word, disappointment. It's a parental thing. And the only thing that I can say to you, you say, how do you know these things? Because I know what I should have done. Now, if you want to take consolation in that and say, well, you didn't do it. Why do you think that I could do it? Because I'd like to think you're further ahead than what I was. I'd hope to think that you'll yield to the Spirit of God in this area more than what I did. You say, well, that must have been before you were a pastor. No, it was only a short time of parenting before I was a pastor. Listen, you can do these things. You need to do these things.
Amen.
It's important. It is so important. When it comes to this matter of disappointment, the best thing I can say to you as a parent is it's not the end of the world. When something went different than what I wanted, it was the end of the world. That's all I need to say. That's all I could say. I handled it as if it were the end of the world. And then as a pastor, looking at people that worked with teens, when a teen did something that they shouldn't have done, so many youth leaders that I worked with, they handled it as if it was the end of the world. Good night. Sunday was not going to come next week because of what this teenager did in youth meeting or what they did on the youth outing. Call the police, get the parent squad in. It's not the end of the world. That's all I know to say. Now my wife sits back there and thinks to herself, did he really learn it? Did he really learn it? I'm learning.
Amen.
I was glad for grandchildren, especially those that lived near us, because I always felt it was another opportunity to deal with children the way I should. Most of the time, I was improved. But I remember reactions I had, and I'd think to myself, it's just like when they were you had your kids. And then I knew I blew it. Then you know what I had to do? I had to pray. And I had to ask God to forgive me. And then I had to ask the kids to forgive me. And you need to do that too if you're a parent. Amen. And you do something wrong. Amen. Wrong. Now, I said wrong. I didn't say different than what the kids want. I said wrong. Okay? So don't confuse those two. Disappointment. And then we have reaction. That's the next key word. That's the last key word. Only four key words. You say, are we done then already? No, I didn't say that. I just said it's the last key word. And this matter of reaction goes with disappointment. Okay? And the anticipation and expectation, the patience, these all roll together. But this matter of reaction, your reaction should be appropriate and matched to the event or the infraction. Okay? And that, of course, you can tell why I say it's not the end of the world. Your reaction needs to be... Listen, you must remember that you're dealing with a whole life and not just a specific event, day, or week, okay, or month, or whatever. You're dealing with a whole life. And I tried to get that across to some youth workers. Look, you're dealing with a whole life, not just this one event, this one class time, this one outing, this kid's whole life is involved here. And that's the way it is. Here's something that we must remember. You can win a battle, but lose the war. So you can win a battle with a kid, but if you lose that kid, okay, you've lost the war. And now, here's the usual reaction. And the usual reaction is to overreact. Now, I got a plus and a minus sign on my notes. Here's what I mean by that. The plus sign is that you overreact and you read the riot act to them. Okay? I wish I could think of some of the situations where I read the riot act. As I was going over this message for tonight, I was thinking of my son Jack, and you know it's hard on the first kid because you learn on the first kid. Really? The three older ones would say to me, "You're so much easier on Nina. You spoil Nina." And finally it dawned on me what my answer would be. So the next time they said it, I said, "Listen, we learned on you. We didn't know how to be a parent. And what we learned is that we can do some things different and get the same end result." Then there was also the ability to point out to the one child, I'm not identifying, Nina loved to mow lawn. I never had to tell her to mow lawn. We never had to tell her to get up in the morning. As a matter of fact, she'd get up, she'd come in and shake her mom and say, "Mom, it's time for me to get ready to go to school." So Pat would get up and get her breakfast and get her lunch ready. Okay? And so, poor Nina, persecuted by her mother. So you see, there's some things that some kids do naturally. And we had another child who didn't mow lawn naturally. Okay? And as a result, you see, that caused different way of dealing with that one who didn't like to mow compared to one who did. And so, the usual way of handling things is to overreact. Plus side is to read the riot act. The minus side is to excuse away anything. And believe me, that is as dangerous as it is to overreact. If your kid can't do anything wrong, you are living in an imaginary world. Yeah, And that's what happens. Well, you know, they didn't really mean to. Well, maybe they didn't really mean to, but if they did something wrong, they still did wrong. Now, how you handle it can be different than if they meant to do wrong, but don't excuse away. Okay, well, he's too young to know. No child is too young, but what they can learn right and wrong.
Yep, that's right.
Okay? And then for right and wrong to be expected of a child. But you see how you need the balance between overreacting and underreacting? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, that's not why I read that verse. Okay? I read it for this. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Chastens him. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? You want to break the will of a child, but you don't want to break the spirit of a child. Okay? You want to break the negative, the bad, the wrong will of a child, but you don't want to break their spirit. And it's an important distinction. And so often I've heard it. Well, all that kid needs is a good spanking. And then they'll quote 13, verse 24, about sparing the rod. All that kid needs is a good spanking. Maybe. Maybe that's all that kid's ever gotten beaten. Maybe they've not gotten love and attention. Spankings don't exist alone. Now, I'm for spankings. We did spank. And I have no problem with spanking. But to be effective, they must be part of the total child rearing.
Yes, sir.
If there is not the attention and the love shown, and by attention, I mean, here's one of the things that I didn't do right. I would do things with my son. All four of our kids live for the Lord. All four of them have forgiven me as adults when I asked them to do so for when I failed. But my son, I would do things with my son. We'd paint the garage. We'd mow the lawn. We'd work in the car. We'd do all kinds of things that I wanted to do. You may have heard me say already, but it worth repeating. It was his mother who went out and shot basketball hoops with him. It was his mother who went and pitched ball with him. Should have been me. We need to do things with our children that they like to do. They need to work. They need to. First job Jack got was painting. When he first went in ministry and moved out to Kansas, first job he got was painting houses. Okay? He's worked on his own car already. Why? Because the old man had him out there changing the oil so he could learn it. I use that term, old man, in an affectionate way. Obviously, I don't have a problem with it. But when I hear a kid speak disrespectfully to his dad, he may not say, "Oh man," it's still disrespectful. All right, there you go. That's just a clarification on that. Again, you may not agree, and that's all right. Most people don't. But the point is, you see, you need to do things with the kids that the kids like to do. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. Train up. That's part of this whole thing of discipline. Discipline, remember, the most important part of discipline is disciple. To train. Train up a child. When you discipline a child, you train him, you mold him. Somebody who is a disciple is a follower. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're doing what? Following Jesus. So what you want to do in disciplining is teach your children to follow you. Punishment is only one aspect of discipline. And it should not be used for everything. What I'm thinking of there is spanking. Is every offense actually deserving of a spanking? If you say yes, I'm sure glad you're not my parent. Good night. Now, I was never big. I didn't grow up. I was not of the parenting generation of time out. We're going to give you a time out. I was of the generation will stand you in the corner. That makes no more sense than a time out. But both of them are good in that they are attempts at disciplining in the punishment level without having to spank. I mean, if a kid gets a spanking for everything, he may as well do the ultimate.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to get spanked for whatever I do, I may as well go ahead and do it and have a good time. But I'm going to get a spanking anyway. See? And so, you know, you have television in your house? Well, they can lose that privilege. That'll get them all going. They have a cell phone? Oh, you could go to court over that one. But you could take their cell phone. They have a computer, computer privileges. Okay, you can restrict them from the computer. You say, oh, I could never do that. Yeah, you can. If you can't, then you're not the parent.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and so there's different things that can be done and they need to be done. Now, last one that I have here. Oh, my goodness. Last one that I have here is the children's conduct in public and at home. When a child is trained at home, it won't be a major crisis when the kid is acting like a kid outside of the home. Okay? When you go to the Walmart, Kmart, you go to the grocery store, and you see a parent have to read the Riot Act to the kid, you know what that tells us? It tells us that that child was not trained at home.
That's right.
Okay? Now, children will be children, therefore they'll do things that children do. But when you speak to them, they'll know to get in line. But if you have to read the Riot Act to them, just you wait till I get you home. Just you wait. Oh, they'll wait because they know nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. I'll tell your father. Oh, that's a good way to build a relationship with dad. Mm-hmm. And so, take care of them at the home so when you're out in the public, they'll act like kids, but you need to train them. Now, I didn't know you were going to be here tonight. I used to teach at a Good Shepherd Baptist Missions missionary training school and pastor's training school. At the missionary training school, one of the areas that we covered with the 10 to 20 missionaries and their wives that were there, okay, as they were preparing for deputation and going on deputation, one of the areas that we covered was when they go into the churches with their children. Have your kids under control in the car and at home. Okay, now they don't ever spend time at home. They're always in somebody else's home. Okay, but have them under control. Because when you see missionaries come in and dad isn't dad, but he's the sergeant, okay? And those kids are so regimented in how they're conducting themselves and how they're spoken to, We would point out to the missionaries, that's not sending a good message to either the pastor, if he observes those things, and believe us, there are people in the pew who observe it.
That's right.
Okay? Now, when I thought you folks are going to be here tonight, glad your kids were well behaved, okay? Glad you weren't here long enough for me to observe otherwise. But I'm just telling you, this is the manner in which these sort of things take place. We have kids that run around here a lot. And I've observed some of them. I'm looking up, so I'm not looking at anyone. I've observed that there are those where mom or dad speaks their name, and right away they know how they ought to respond. And they know that the fun they've been having was just a little over the line. And then there are others who, here comes Sarge, in order to get control. Man, I'm going to be paranoid about coming now. Well, good. It might get you to do what you need to at home.
Amen.
Okay? So, not all, but too much public discipline is for the parents' sake. It's done for what others will think.
Yep.
Oh, boy, look, they have control of their kids. No, they don't. That's the problem. That's why they're acting that way. Sometimes parents want to demonstrate who's in charge. Okay. Well, now there is a learning curve. Two key words there. One is learning. Doesn't happen all at once. Comes. Okay. And curve, too often it's more like a circle. Mine was a circle. Neil, go back and release them, please. I'm done. They have been so graciously, and I must apologize to the three teens that were leaders for not being very specific about what it was that I wanted from them. That's what I wanted to share tonight. There's times where your kids can hear this sort of thing and it doesn't matter. But I just felt that I really, they not hear it. And because the last thing we need is some kid going home and saying, don't you remember what Pastor Hayne preached?
Oh, boy, yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, so. Can I say one sentence?
Yes, you surely may.
Me and my friend talked about this before, because we were missionaries, and he always said this to me, he said, and I thought about this, when we discipline our children, is it for our sake, or is it because we want them to learn something to turn out right?